Turning this morning to the first letter of John. The first letter of John, chapter 2 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. And my aim is to cover verse 7 to verse 11. And our subject this morning is the test of love. The test of love. Now, John is fond of opposites, antithetical pictures. He loves to give us contrasts. If you don't mind, just to list a number for you here before us, a number of opposites. He speaks about old and new. He speaks about light and darkness. He speaks about love and hate or hatred. He speaks about life and death, that the person can have life, but without Christ, there is death. But he speaks also about truth and lie. You see the contrasts John is putting before us. Now, if you were here last Sunday, in verse 3 to 6, I spoke about what is often called the moral, the ethical test. And that test is the test of obedience. And if you remember, in that study, we covered five headings. Number one is knowing God. Number two is keeping his commandments. Number three is keeping his word. Number four is abiding in Jesus Christ. And number five is walking as Christ walked. So these were the five headings we have done our best to cover last Sunday. And as I said, today we want to cover the test, the moral test, not only the moral test, but the social test. The social test, the fellowship test. That's what we want to cover in this study this morning. It is also called the relational test, relation with one another. And you could see it, I have alluded to it already, love. Love for one another. But I want to point also that in our study last Sunday, it was really about love for God, the first commandment above all. And we will come to explain it. And the second commandment is to love one another. And we read in Matthew chapter 22, verse 40, that upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If you love God and we love one another, the Bible says we have fulfilled all the law. And I could even say we are perfect people. We are mature people if we are able to fulfill that. But there are great questions. My dear friends, I hope you will agree with me. None of us could stand and say, I love God as I ought to love him. But equally, none of us could say we love one another as we ought to love one. So you see our failures, you see our shortcomings, none of us. When the Bible says you shall love God, the Lord your God, with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your might, and with all your will, oh, my dear friends, I don't think somebody among us could stand and say, yes, I love God with all my heart, with all my might, with all my will, and with all my strength. None of us could say that. But you see, it is the commandment. Even in that, my brothers and sisters, do you see the grace of God? Oh, the barrier is very high, very high. If it was not the grace of God, we wouldn't be here. Where sin abounded, grace abounded even more. Love, so much ink, so much tears, or so many tears, so many writings about love, so much joy also about love. I don't want to be dramatic, but so much joy about love. But we hardly fit when it comes to biblical love. You see, look at the genius. I think this is genius of the Bible. The Bible simply says to us, God is love. The Bible never defines love for us. It only illustrates, illustration after illustration. You read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you know how it is called? The greatest chapter of love in the world, the OD of love. And believe me, my dear friend, you will not find a chapter like 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in any sacred book in the world. And certainly, you will never find it in the Quran. It's not there. Only in the Bible. That is why in that excellent, more excellent chapter we read, without love, we are nothing. Just a symbol, just a gong, just a noise, without love. And it is interesting how many times even John is called the apostle of love. Remember John? John was actually nicknamed the son of thunder with his brother James. That's how they were called. Sons of thunder, crushing, asking God to send fire from above to eliminate a whole village. But this man now has been subdued. He has been subdued. He's the apostle of love, and he can tell us a lot about love. I believe in his writings. In his gospel, the gospel of John, in his first letter, in his second letter, in his third letter, John speaks about love more than 60 times. A man of love. He learned how to love the Lord Jesus Christ and to love one another. I don't want to detain you long on this, but it is said that he was, as you know, John was the pastor in the church of Ephesus for many years. That's exactly the church where Timothy was also the pastor. And John became very old, a senior, because he's the last apostle to die, probably in the year 100. The last one, and most people believe he was aged, let's say, between 95, probably 100. And the young people will bring the old John into the church. They will carry him and bring him in the church. And they will sit him in the church. And as soon as they sat him, he will look at them and he will say, love one another, love one another. And they will ask him, why are you keeping telling us to love one another? And he will look at them again, love one another. Because this is the greatest commandment. Oh, my dear friends, how important, and it's with tears I speak on these things, how important it is for the church, our church, this church, to be a loving church. And I can tell you from my heart, if we are not a loving church, better close these premises because we are not preaching the gospel. To love God is also to be a loving church, a church that loves sinners, a church that wants to see sinners being saved, not just to entertain them or to make them feel good. No, 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 that is not the purpose of Christianity. But you see, with my small experience, I have heard this in some churches. On the pulpit here, when the pastor is preaching, oh, that's powerful. That is good. He's telling us to love God and to love one another. But we, as people in the church, we are a million miles away from loving one another. Oh, I prefer to die than to hear. I am in a church where people hate one another. And remember, I'm mentioning this because John is speaking to believers. So it means in the church, people can hate one another. I will come, I will explain this thing. It means in the church, people can be hostile to one another. In the church, people can be indifferent to one another. In the church, people can look down at one another. You know, you're on a pedestal, you know, standing on the height, looking down at other people. Oh, God forbid, God forbid, God should have looked down on us. God should have crushed us. God should have really erased us in a twinkling of an eye. But he keeps us. He keeps us in his love. Oh, let it not be that we are an unloving church. God forbid. But look at, there is so much in the verses I have before me, but I will do my best to cover them. Look at our first heading in verse 7. John speaks to the believers. He calls them brethren, brethren. Do you see that? Earlier he said, my little children, but my little children are now brethren. Some versions, I'm just telling you this in passing, some versions have here beloved, but I checked the Greek text, it says brethren, brethren. Adelphoi, brethren. So he's speaking to believers with tender-heartedness, a word of affection again. This is about family relationship, the pure blood. Just think about it this morning. I'm saying this to you, oh, my dear brother and my sister, the blood, the pure blood, the blameless pure blood of Jesus Christ the Lord runs in the veins of our souls. I didn't say it runs in the veins of our bodies, but in the veins of our souls. We belong to a divine, royal, and a celestial family. That's where you belong to. You know, we are all immigrants here. We are immigrants, refugees here. This world doesn't belong to us. The Christian never settles in this vain and passing world. We are passing by. So, brethren, that's really a word of affection. He's calling them. And it is interesting. I just glanced quickly through it. Four times he calls them brethren in this letter. Four times. Brethren. A sweeter appellation there. But I must come to the second one. Look at it in verse 7 again, how John speaks about it. He said, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment. An old commandment. So he writes an old commandment. It's interesting, if you look at your Bibles, he doesn't mention the commandment. He doesn't tell us what commandment it is right immediately. But when you go to verse 10, is there he mentions love. He who loves his brother. So love is that commandment. And you see, the commandment also is singular, not plural. It means it's one commandment. But he tells us that the commandment, first of all, is old. Why is it old? Why? Oh, can I give you some reasons why is it old? Number one, the commandment is old because it goes back to God, to eternity past. Love is in the nature, the character, the commandment of love is embedded. It is rooted in the person of God. You cannot separate God with love. Do you know in that text, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13, it says that three things will remain. Yeah, you know the three things that will remain. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest is what? Love. What? Because even in heaven, you and me will still need the love of God. But I don't need faith. Why? Because now I see. Faith becomes sight. I see Christ with my own eyes. Do I need hope there? Oh, no, no, no. Hope has become reality. You see, but God is love. So it is an old commandment. But it is also an old commandment because it goes back to the Garden of Eden. There in Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, until the fall, even with the fall, it was a sign of love from the Lord Jesus Christ there from God to tell Adam and Eve that he's going to save them by the seed of the serpent, by the seed of the woman. And who will crush the head of the seed of the serpent, the devil. It was a sign of his love. But also, it is an old commandment. It is mentioned in the Decalogue. You know the Decalogue, Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments. They are called Decalogue. So you find that, what do you find there? The first four commandments are God's word. You shall love the Lord, your God. And the sixth next commandments, the second table of the law is man's word. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. And all that the Lord Jesus Christ has summed it up in Matthew chapter 22, where he said the two greatest commandments, you shall love the Lord your God and you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. So it is an old commandment from eternity past in the nature and character of God. But it is also an old commandment going back to the Garden of Eden. But it is also an old commandment from the Pentateuch. And the Pentateuch is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The Penta, five. You see the five books of Moses. What? We don't have time to turn to the verses, but when you look at Leviticus chapter 19, you shall love your neighbor. You shall love one another. It is mentioned there in Leviticus chapter 19. And also in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. I'm sure you know the Shema Israel. Shema Israel, Adonai. Adonai Ahad. The Lord our God is the only God. You see, it's already there. I quoted for you so far, Genesis, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. So it's, and you read throughout the Old Testament, it is an old commandment. So God gave that commandment right from the beginning. And as I said, John's readers, they know what this commandment is because it is before the beginning. It is in the beginning and it is from the beginning. I must hurry up. Really, this morning. Number two, look at this. Our third heading. First, the brethren, the word of affection there. Number two, an old commandment. And number three, a new commandment. Why is it new then? This is what where we need to explain. Now, it is interesting. The word new here is not new in relation to time. But it is new in relation to kind. A new kind, a new type. Not a new in time. So it is so old, but it is fresh now. This is something that is fresh. And that's really the meaning of the word new here in verse 8. And it is new because it has an eternal freshness. It is not new in duty, but it has new in scope, in grandeur. That's why it is new. It is new with new emphasis. It is new, with a new shape, with a new dimension, and with a new realization. So you see, the commandment is old, yet it is new for the believer. Now, it is also new because the Lord Jesus Christ gave it. And if you are taking notes, again, if I turn to the verses, we will elongate our time together this morning. But you know the text, John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. You remember the text? I just paraphrase it for you. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. If you love one another, the world will know that you are my disciples." So how would the world know that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? By the way we love one another. By the way we love one another. In the third century, there was a church father. The church fathers are the disciples of the apostles. After the apostles, you have the church fathers. And one of them, his name is Tertullian. And he had a motto. He heard from the non-believers. Even the non-believers were saying, "Look how the Christians love one another." And I can tell you, you heard me saying this, Muslims will not be interested in a sermon, but they will be interested. Look at how Christians, they love one another. When you meet a Christian in the street, how do you relate to him? Oh, I can tell you, in my small experience, I have met Christians in the street. We look at one another as if we have never known one another. Sadly, it's very sad. Or normally, when I meet, especially we are members of a local church, we meet one another in the street. "Oh, this is my brother. This is my sister. Same father, same mother." But we are not speaking about biological relationship. We are speaking about spiritual relationship that goes farther and farther, far above any physical relationship. To know the Lord, to be brothers, to be sisters. I think that's the greatest degree of life. I wish I can tell you more. You can go later to John 15, John 17. In all those passages, Christ said, even he prayed in John 17, that we should love one another as the Father loved him, that his love may also be in us. Love is the fulfillment of the law. And Jesus Christ demonstrated that love by the cross of Calvary. You know very well John chapter 15, where Christ said, "There is no greater love than to give his life for whom? For his friends." And in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, we read that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His enemies, Christ died for us. And Christ fulfilled that commandment. He declared it and he commanded it. The old and the new are the same, of the same substance. Very important. Some people, they say, "Oh, the Old Testament is the God of anger. And the New Testament is the God of grace." No, that is not in the Bible. The same love in the Old Testament is the same love in the New Testament. But as I said, in the New Testament, that love now has a greater dimension. It has a greater emphasis. Why? Because in the Old Testament, they have never known the love of God the way we now can read about it. Because we look back, in the Old Testament, the believers were looking before them, forward. They were looking forward. But we are looking how? Backward. And we see it all. We see it all. Because we know Christ died for us. And as I close our Bible study on Tuesday, every Christian could quote Galatians 2 verse 20. Christ gave himself for me. He loved me and he gave himself for me. So it is an old commandment, but a new commandment. But look now, I must go to verse 9, really. Verse 9. Now, I want to show you the works of darkness. Look at the works of darkness in verse 9. He that said he is in the light and walketh and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Look at verse 11. I put the two verses together. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Do you see the person who is without Christ, how he's described? The works of darkness. And I'm sure you counted it. I hope you did. Five times. Darkness, darkness, darkness. The works of darkness. And five times. A man who claims to be a Christian but has developed resentment, hostility, grudges. Is that man a Christian? Please tell me, is that man a Christian? Oh, my dear friends, I just to think about it, it makes me to weep, really. Not because I'm an emotional person, but I met believers who are saying, I will never forgive him. I will never forgive her. Oh, that is great pity. Do you deserve to be forgiven? No, you don't deserve. But Christ forgave him. So no Christian should ever say, no husband, no wife, even if they are separated, sadly through divorce, the person should never say, I will never forgive her. Hatred. We read that a man or he who hated his brother is a murderer, and murderers will not inherit the kingdom of God. We read it in 1 John here. We'll come to it. But I want to tell you five things. I don't invent them. They are there. Five things are said about a person who hates his brother or his sister. Five things. I just list them for you, enumerate them for you. We can spend another whole study on those things. Number one, look at it. Number one, verse 9 and verse 11. We read in verse 9, he is in darkness even until now. Can we say this person is converted? He's still in darkness? Well, you remember in chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, John already spoke about darkness. If we walk with God, we are not in darkness. If we say we are in the light, we should walk as God, as God who is light, as Jesus Christ who is light. So number one, this man, even now, is still in his darkness because he's not saved at all. How could you be in darkness walking with Jesus Christ? Number two, look at it again. He not only he's in darkness, but he walks in darkness, not with God and not walking as Christ walked. Number three, verse 11, he doesn't know where he's going. Number four, he is blinded by the darkness. He is disoriented. He has no sense of orientation, aimless. My dear friends, if you love, you are not in darkness. But don't misunderstand me. When I speak about love, it doesn't mean you have to have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee with everyone. No, we love everyone. But we cannot associate ourselves with everyone. That's the reality. Because love is never to the detriment of sound doctrine. Some people, you know the song. It was sung many, many years ago. All we need is what? Love. None. That makes love to be God. It's not all we need is love. All we need is Christ, because he's the demonstration. He's the personification of love. He's the incarnation of love. I believe a person who doesn't have Christ May I speak to you? Maybe you are not a Christian. Maybe you are not a church goer. Maybe this is your first time coming to a church that preaches the gospel. May I tell you, if you don't have Christ, there is no way you can convince me that you love your wife or you love your children or you love your neighbor. Without Christ, it's only self-love. I love myself. And you don't need a lecture about self-love. We all love ourselves. So Christ is the incarnation of love. You have Christ, you are the most loving person in the world. But look at the fifth one in verse 11. He hates his brother. So one, he's in darkness even now. Number two, he walks in darkness. Number three, he doesn't know where he's going. Number four, he's blinded. He's like a blind that is leading another blind. And number five, he hates his brother. And I already told you that a person who hates his brother will not go to heaven. He detests his brother. Looking at others with disdain, disparagement. Oh, may I ask you, even this morning, do you look at other people with disdain? Because of your education, because of your nationality, because of your color, or what? There are people who are looking down at others just because they are better off. But we were destitute, poor. But Christ had an eye on you and me to save us. Oh, an unloving Christian is in contradiction with the terms. I speak only to people of my kind. Is that love? I speak only to people who hold my views, people who think like me. They love the food I love, I speak to them. They love the sport I love, I speak to them. But I don't speak to anyone else. That's why, my dear friends, can I draw your attention? Please, I said this to you. No visitor should come among us and go without us relating to him. Greeting him in a brotherly, in a sisterly way. Oh, the only way to push away wickedness, hostility, hatred, sin, and darkness in this world is for men and women to find the Lord Jesus Christ, to be reconciled with him. But look at number five, my fifth heading, verse 10. I come to verse 10. Really, verse 10 is almost the center of what I will speak to you as we draw to conclusion. Verse 10. And we read in verse 10 that he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Do you see? This is very positive. And from now on, from this passage, verse 10, John, the Apostle John, will keep coming back to love, 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 love so many times. I believe, I didn't check it for myself by highlighting it in my Bible here, but I believe at least 20 times he mentions love. Earlier I told you in his letters, more than 60 times, but certainly more than 20 times in his letter here, he mentions love. Love is crucial. Love is the basis of our obedience and fellowship with God. And the old yet new commandment is clearer, greater in the life of the church. My dear friends, may I tell you something again? To love is a command. And young ones, if I may speak to young couples or a young person, love is not a feeling. Love is not an emotion. Love is a motion. It moves. It acts. Love is an act of the will. I will love this person even if I don't feel like loving her. You see the paradox? If you are married, you know, what it has been said before, long time ago, make your choice and love your choice. That is why when you hear a husband or a wife who says, I don't love him anymore, I don't love her anymore, tell him, tell her, you are the most foolish person in the world. Why? Because love is not a feeling. Love is an act of the will. Love is a resolution. Love is a determination. To love is a command. And Christ prayed that we may love one another. He said, love one another as I have loved you. And in Romans 5, verse 5, the Holy Spirit has spread abroad God's love in our hearts. That's why we are born again, to love. Not just to have it as a slogan. You know, sometimes in the streets, when we meet a person to invite the person to the church, his slogan, I'm born again. I didn't ask you if you are born again or not. You see, but a person is born again in order to love God and to love one another as Christ loved us. And no one has ever loved like the Lord Jesus Christ loved. You know, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So if you have the Holy Spirit, you shall love one another. And as I said, without Christ, our love is just self-love. His love has no degree, no measure. We are called to imitate Christ. My dear friends, I wish I can tell you many more lessons. Our time is over. I'm aware of that. But remember, the Bible says that love covers the multitude of sins. Husbands, tell me what Ephesians 5:25 says. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It's Calvin who said, a husband who doesn't love his wife is a monster. And I'm sure no one wants to be called a monster. I haven't left time for myself to tell you more about darkness again. It's all here. But look at verse 10 again. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. My last heading is the fruit of walking in the light. You see the fruit of walking in the light? You will not be a stumbling block to another person. So love is instrumental. We love the Lord, we love one another to win one another. To win one another. You love the non-believers to win them for the Lord. So, who loves his brother will not be a stumbling block to him. It's interesting, the word stumbling block here, the word here, not an occasion of stumbling. The word stumbling there is the English word. I mention it because we have it in English. The Greek word is skandalon, which we have in English. He will not be a scandal to his brother or his sister. Are you a scandalous person to other people? You know, I met people that say, I will never come to that church again because they're a scandal to me. They don't love one another. Oh, that's very sad when you hear that. He's not a stumbling block to others. You remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said? If you or me is a scandal to one of those little ones, you know the text. He said it is better that that person, you know, that big stone, a heavy stone, is put on his neck and drowned into the waters than to be a scandalon to one believer. Once, that's what even about children. Do you love children? Do you let the children, parents? Do you bring your children to church that they may know Jesus Christ? Or you are a scandal, you are a scandal to them. Oh, may God forbid. May God forbid. My dear friends, So much to say here. Love has its enemies. I will come back to it another time, but I don't want to worry you. And in Hebrews 13, verse 2, it is said there, let brotherly love continue. I wish I can read for you Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. Charity towards one another, the bonds of love towards one another. And I'm sure we all know John 3:16, but I close with 1 John 3:16. Look what is said. Nobody knows 1 John 3:16. We all know John 3:16, but I close with that. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Look at what it says there. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for whom? For the brethren. Oh, my dear friends, love serves, love gives, love forgives, love bears, love forbears. Love comes with a cost. If you love, you are willing to pay the cost. And Christ, our Savior, did that. He loved us, and that love took him to the cross of Calvary to die on behalf of his people. My dear friends,